Welcome to the California Wealth Warriors Podcast with your host, Ray Olmo, the ultimate California contrarian and believer in the salvation of our great state. Fighting in the trenches for our business owners and entrepreneurs, our California Wealth Warrior Project will share our experiences, network, and resources to reveal the California-centric planning strategies and secrets to help you protect, profit, and preserve your wealth so California can become a haven, not a burden. So unpack your bags, pull out your beach chair, and join us as we share insights, real stories, and success cases, and rediscover why California is still the Golden State.
Hello, and welcome to the California Wealth Warrior Podcast with your host, Ray Olmo. Ray, good to be with you again. You are impressive. Your dedication to convince people that they don't have to become economic refugees from the state of California feels like a bit of a losing battle to me, but you've got me convinced, actually, after listening to these podcasts.
Well, California's got plenty of money. I mean, the migrants are coming in, they're getting checks, and, you know, it's just free money, man. It's easy to stay here.
It's all coming out of Gavin's pocket, right? Is that the Gavin's personally funding this? Is that what you're telling us?
No, listen, again, I try to stay out of the political realm, even though it does influence the wealth sector, reminding you that, you know, my goal that stems from my family is the backbone of California. You know, how did we make California what it is? And I'm just trying to get back there and help those people that work so hard to build it and honor it and want to stay here. It's that simple. You know, Bill, we just had flash flood warnings over the last 48 hours for California, but somehow in some way, my house, I got a bunch of sun coming in. So I don't know if God's just shining a light on me. I don't know what's going on.
Could
there.
Be. But, you know, it could be. Yeah. So could be a sign.
Yeah. So
if a dove flies in the window, let me know. Okay.
At any rate. Yeah, today is going to be kind of a culmination of our advanced planning segment. Let me recap, if you don't mind, Mr. Bill. The first set of series is again, if you look at methodically what we're doing, episode one was, why are we doing California Wealth Warriors? You know, what was my story, that backbone, why we want to honor it, the relationships I forged over, you know, 35 years in business and then 58 years in life being here every day. And then where to start was the second episode. And then we started looking at different levels. I had Ed Cotney on entity structuring from a high level. Okay. Mm-hmm. I had Jeff Verdon come in from advanced asset protection for Californians at a high level. Then I had Phil Kohler. Okay. One of our ongoing collaborators that's helped build our firm, advanced retirement planning for business owners and entrepreneurs and successful Californians. Okay. And then now what we're going to do is we're going to kind of wrap up that segment, that high level, with advanced tax planning for Californians. And so I'm bringing in my colleague and has become a great friend, Tom Barber. I've got to try to hone Tom in because his brain is full of stuff. Okay. And so again, we've talked about it numerous times throughout this week. And it's like, okay, how are we going to do this to get people so that they can kind of generally just understand the dynamic and what we're trying to do and not drill down on all these things. Cause it's kind of unlimited to, you know, how to solve tax problems. And I made a pretty bold statement earlier on when I was in here. I said, listen, the protection problem for Californians, I find easy. So I'm on that side of the bookend. Okay. I find the tax mitigation a little more difficult. I understand it, but trying to quarterback that is really difficult. And so I rely on Tom as our quarterback for that. So when he and I are working together, we're attacking the two zones on the football field for the Californians to be able to say here. Protection from lawsuits is the number one judicial hole in the world, and then the highest tax rates that people default to and say, I quit and I'm leaving. And it just kills me, specifically when I'm watching the work that Tom does, that these people are defaulting. And again, I made a pretty bold statement. I said, it's not hard to do. It's hard to manage. And so that's what we're going to do with Tom today, is have him share what is the problem, how do we identify it, and then how do we manage it? Okay. So let me introduce today my good friend, Thomas Barber. I call him Tommy, the guru. And welcome to our show, Tom.
Thank you for having me, Ray. Good seeing you, Bill.
Yeah, I'm all ears on this one, because I just got an email this morning from the Tax Foundation, and I was looking at individual state tax rates. Ray?
Yep.
California's number one.
Right on.
Not on a list you don't want to be number one on, buddy.
Yeah.
So the challenge is out and laid before you.
And I don't want to dilute, because we got limited time with Tom, but you know, yesterday I was on the phone with a client. It's become a good friend, and she's got a very high priced home in Hollywood, and she brings up, she goes, I'm freaked out about this mansion tax. And I said, okay, I understand. And there's a whole different planning, you know, that goes on with people that have private residences and this mansion tax. But I assure you, it can be identified, okay, and they are identifying it, and it can be solved in some of the strategic planning that we do, okay? And that comes with entity planning and trust planning, of course. So let's not belabor that. Tom, we got a task ahead of us, and we better get on it. So what I want to do is quickly, we have levels in our company. We have these niche, you know, we have 22 team deep bench, and some of them are very specialists, okay? And again, what you and I have been working on over the last 5 years, since we pulled you in as our consultant that provides the oversight for the tax division, is this viewpoint that you have, a lot like me, which is how to drill down and decipher the before and after scenario and how to get from point A to point B. And that's quite the task, okay? So what we're going to talk about first is how did you get into what you're doing and identify this issue for the small business owner market?
Yeah, so that it started about 7 or 8 years ago. I was head of business development for a pretty well-known RIA out of New York City. And I was trying to figure out ways to differentiate the practice. And one of the ways that I felt a lot of advisors, where they lacked, was in the liquidity planning realm. So I started, you know, going down the rabbit holes of all these different types of strategies to deal with, you know, the disposition of, for example, a business. And that got me into, you know, searching and investigating all these different solutions that could be applied in the business owner context space. And unlike, you know, in the case of W-2, high income earning W-2, when you're a business owner, there's a lot more tax solutions or tools that you can use to mitigate tax. So it's been a labor of love since that time. And with the changing landscape of the tax world, I've had to be on my feet at all times to kind of learn new techniques and respond to the changes in the tax code. So, you know, that's kind of where we're at in terms of just learning these new strategies and then learning how to implement them in an efficient way to create the most optimized outcome for business owners.
Yeah. So it seems to me, you and I, and we've talked about this, so I'm just going to kind of cut to it. The true benefit of tax mitigation planning is that tax savings. That's wealth. And everybody's heard the term, you save a tax dollar, you know, you keep a tax dollar, that's wealth. And we've proven that up, that value, because when we look and we do our analytics and we've saved X dollars, we don't look at it as just a dollar. It's a dollar compounded over 5, 10, 15 years, even to the retirement distribution channel, even to the legacy that goes on to provide the retirement for the heirs for generations. And the numbers become staggering. So again, we have to monetize that. So that's the mission statement, as it were. You know, you've been doing this not quite as long as I have, but you and I have come to this term of there's also very few resources. So you and I have, over this last couple of years, spoken to a lot of CPAs. The collaborating CPA has been very inviting. And they say, yeah, this is out of my scope. And it tends, again, to deal with, in my world, trust. They just don't quite understand that when these things are in trust. And so that's my job. Your job is to, again, vet and provide the tools that can then be applied appropriately and when needed to create that tax dollar. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, we started on this track years ago, and you know, we're perfecting it and continuing to refine the model. And one of the things that we've kind of made a concerted effort to kind of build is, you know, these analysis tools that basically allow us to look at a particular client, which starts at the diagnostic tool that you've built on your website. That's a dream for a guy like me, because it encapsulates all the balance sheet. And once I see the balance sheet and the income levels, I can then identify where the core areas that we can help that particular individual and phase out the approach, because we can't tackle everything at one time, but we can prioritize and educate and then walk a client through, you know, where they are today versus where they're going to be after, you know, they implement one or more solution through your PRP structure.
Yeah. So let's start with that. I've mentioned this, that when we look at the trust world, which is the most potent world to help solve these devastating problems that Californians face, whether it's business owners or entrepreneurs, I like what I can control. And the easiest way to look at it is like the California PRP. I can control and I understand risk within a trust. And we have our PRP Defender. And I've also suggested this with clients. It's the first place to start. It takes a nice bite at the apple, but we measure it, and you can't solve all problems with it. So I'm not going to get into the depth of that. But again, mine is typically a large exposure of taxable income within a corporation that's, you know, stocks owned in the private retirement plan. And we can measure risk. And I mentioned this earlier in the episode. Well, in California, that risk is exponentially greater than it is in any other state. Bizarre enough, that helps us increase risk reserve deductions. So we're able to raise that bar as compared to any other state, which ends up being greater tax benefits. But again, at the end of the day, I stop there and say, I'm done because I'm comfortable with this. Then what I see is when we have all these trusts and we have the business entities and the assets and then the earnings that are floating down and pinging down to the taxable tax returns on the client's personal tax returns, we go, okay, we got to stop this bleeding from coming down. Again, why? Well, if it's in trust, the trust puts a twist on the purpose and the need, because now it has a specific need. It's not just the business need, it's the obligations of the benefits it's trying to provide. And that's whether it's a private retirement trust now trying to provide retirement, which means we need to maximize retirement, which means we need to save taxes to create more wealth, whether it's estate planning and we don't want the estate demolished by estate taxes, that's got its own trust purpose. So again, I will stop there because we need to give you the time here. Of let's say that we've taken our bite at the apple and we've done our risk planning and we've saved a little bit of taxes against active business income. But now we need to break down and look at the various types of taxation that are going to be applied. Okay. So can you look at and compare active versus passive, excuse me, versus gain? And we'll stop there from an income tax standpoint, and we'll set aside estate tax planning and whatnot. Sure. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, California is notoriously high tax rates, right? Number one in the country at 13.3 plus a 1.1 additional tax that came in 2024. We're always mindful of the type of income composition that a client has. And, you know, we identify that right away. So we're looking at the forms of income, whether it's active, passive, or W-2. And each one of those identifies tools that we can use to implement in order to help reduce those taxes. When you have active income, only certain solutions work against that. And the same goes for W-2. Most people think that if they're a high income earning W-2 person, that, you know, they only have their 401k at their employer to really help them on the tax side. That's just not true. And the thing is people are just not informed. They don't understand that these solutions can be implemented. And while there's not a large variety of them, there's a few of them that actually create a lot of impact. and we can make a meaningful dent in those taxes. You know, and the qualifier really, Ray, is does somebody have $500,000 or more of adjusted gross income? That's our avatar. That's who we're looking at, especially on the W-2 side. Now, as business owners in those contexts with higher incomes, then we have a variety of tools. And clearly, what we're going to try to do is look at the cash flow needs of the business, right? One of the biggest things that businesses need is operating cash flow to grow and scale their business. So everything we do is mindful of what amount of capital needs to come out of the business in order to fund these solutions and strategies. And we give people options, right? Option A requires this much capital. Option B might require half as much capital, but might not create as much of an out, you know, a financial benefit. So it's a, you know, risk reward and you know, kind of analysis that we go through to help people understand, you know, what it is in the push and pull of tax planning, because there is a reaction and a counter reaction to the things that we're doing. Ray, you mentioned capital gains tax, and capital gains tax is its own animal. But, you know, when we're talking about, you know, let's say a business that's been involved with your PRP structure and one that is going to sell, okay, we like to get in front of those transactions and create as much distance between the actual, you know, transaction and the binding sale agreement tied to that transaction. If we get ahead of it, and most times we can, there's some phenomenal tax savings that we can provide to the business owner or owners to the level of protection that they want. You have to understand everything we do is not an all or none, right? They can choose, hey, I want to put in 50% and protect 50% of the capital gain on this transaction, or I want to maximize it.
All right. So again, you're looking at the various tax implications from what somebody has already set up. And again, what happens, what I see when we're looking at funding LLCs with real estate in it, with passive rental income, even portfolios with 1099 passive income, and then we get to more active business stock. And typically I just see this, and Ed Cotney mentioned this, is you see this one model. It's, I've got an S corp and I got a little bit of W-2 that my CPA set me up as, you know, for save nickels. And then the rest is all taxed. But then again, what you said at the 500,000 marker avatar is that's the discretionary. That's what people are living off of. But then when they're well above that, it's unnecessary and they're structured incorrectly because all that does is pass through. They pay the tax, spills over onto their exposed balance sheet. I'm there trying to clean up the mess. And then I'm going, we're working at half mast because now we've got, if we're going to do it, we have your S corp in there. And I usually stop and say, you know, as the administrator, it's inefficient. And my goal is to make you not inefficient. We need to call in our troops and help restructure and design so that we can control the characterization of the taxation and thus manage it long-term, short-term, mid-term, long-term. Agreed?
Agreed.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you hit the nail on the head. It's, you know, look, we identify with our clients, how much money do you need to live on, right? What is your burn? And then what our goal is to then, you know, basically mitigate the tax above that level so that they're not paying unnecessary tax like they are today.
So now we've identified the problem. Where would you go when we collect a case and we see a client, things falling down, and there it's usually all of the above, right? It's X inactive, X, Y, and passive, Z and gain, and you know, all that stuff. Can we use a success case? Of course, we would never use names, but I, you know, again, I've had some clients in this last, you worked on a couple in the last couple of years where we have applied everything. And I call them kids. This kid is going from, you know, 3 million, 5 million. I don't know, what's he at? 15 million taxable income this year. Okay. Doesn't want to leave California.
Net. So that's a
pretty big pain.
Yeah.
Right. So again, what's some of the thinking in the process by which to evaluate these silos?
Yeah. So in this particular case, you know, we had a joint client that was in the medical profession, you know, young individual, very successful and growing. One of his short-term goals was to basically redeploy capital into the acquisition of other medical practices. So a lot of the planning that we considered with him was, how do we maximize tax benefit with the least amount of capital as possible? Because he needed more operating cash flow and free cash flow to complete these acquisitions and continue to scale his business. You know, we're early yet, but we haven't even talked to him about really what we can do on the tax protection of the ultimate sale. But he's very, very focused. And we considered a few strategies the first year that we work with him to basically mitigate tax using a variation on a non-qualified plan, and also a leverage program where he had the ability to, you know, invest in what's technically called an impact investment that on the back end, depending on how a certain number of actions occur, it creates an outsized tax benefit for him that's realized in a charitable way. So we were able to effectively, you know, maximize the use of capital that he was willing to contribute. And then that was year one. Year two, we had that success and he came back and he said, okay, what can we do now? And we expanded on that relationship in a variety of ways. It really is the appetite of the client, right? How agitated are they with the amount of taxation that they're having to pay, right? How much pain are they feeling? You know, for somebody that's making $15 million a year and having to spend and cut a check for $7.5 million or more, most people have a problem with that.
Yeah.
They're working very, very hard to earn that money. And it's our job, Ray and I's job, to help them reduce that tax bill and redeploy it in a more tactical way that they can benefit long-term from.
Yeah, and I want to talk about this case as a sample. This client had called our firm directly on our 800 number and was intrigued by the California private retirement plan from a protection standpoint. It was teased with the tax standpoint, again, me from the risk side. But when they came in, we didn't disrupt their current relationship. Okay. The client's sister manages the books and is not at the level of understanding all this, certainly not trust, but she's getting savvy. Okay. And she's starting to get into this fluidity with us. Also, the CPA was very open. Okay. Yep. So the CPA is still their CPA, and you've actually become almost a daily repertoire with her, but you know, we built relationships and they've entrusted us too. So again, like I've told the audience, if people are wanting to collaborate, that's the best thing for the client. Sometimes it doesn't happen and there needs to be some hard decisions made. But anyway, I wanted to kind of share that perspective in terms of a team, if you will. And frankly, the CPA brings up that, as you know, Tom, once they say the clients save a buck, what do we call them? They're like junkies, right? They're wait, what are we going to do this year? And it's funny because they called up earlier in this year. It's like, okay, so what's our plan this year? Love it. Love the proactivity. Converse with the CPA. We get ahead of the curve. That's the best way for this type of planning. Okay.
Yep.
One of the things you mentioned that's been intriguing to me to watch is, as you know, we don't sell anything at Trust CFO. So my job is to make sure that the retirement plan is going to reach its objectives, its distribution and its legacy objectives. And I'm fighting my own battle trying to get there with an inefficient model, tax model. Okay. When you do your magic and our other team and collaborators that you help quarterback are bringing their tools to the fray, it makes my job way easier. I can basically be assured I'm going to get to these benefits that we've targeted on a multi-generational level. One of the things that's interesting is, again, there's kind of two different tactics for tax savings. One is tax oriented and one is for the return of the investment itself. Okay. So as an example, we could take solar, and there are various versions of solar credits, and you can invest in one way and it's basically tune towards providing more tax benefit, less return, but that tax benefit, what? It frees up tax, prior tax locked up capital, and it lets the client keep the cash flow so that they can put it in and allocate it to where they want to, their active business, real estate, or other things they might want to control. The problem there is the business owner client kind of has some limitations. It might be just their business, and they got to be cognizant, and we always bring it up, that there's risk in not being diversified. So what you've also done that I've seen is brought in these other options to help create diversification of a portfolio. And so that's where the tax planning sways towards, well, did you know you could do this? Okay. And Tom, you and I've, one of my buddies I'm going to have on here, and you know him quite well, Eli Weiner over at Boa Vida. You know, it's a mobile home park syndicate private, and they can provide a huge bonus depreciation on top of a great investment. These guys are doing like 14, 15% IRR. Right? Well, that's an option. Okay. Maybe a client can't get into a 1031 and they can't find the exchange property, or they fall out, or whatever. That might be a solution. Again, it focuses on providing a return, yet there's still some tax benefit. So I kind of just opened up that can of worms, but can you elaborate a little bit more on Sure. what that range of diversification might be?
Yeah, so solar's a pretty interesting asset class. With the recent passing of the Inflation Reduction Act, it's kind of fortified a lot of those benefits and really kind of allowed people to realize that this choice of investments here to stay. An unprecedented amount of capital is being deployed in you know, this green energy revolution, or and solar has had, you know, the longest, you know, legs in that category. You have wind, you have oil and gas and these other types of energy related tax incentivized solutions. But solar comes in a variety of ways. And normally there are geared towards passive income, those with passive income. But through a couple of our service providers, they've effectively figured out a way to leverage the code to be able to offer the same type of option for somebody that has active income. There are different requirements involved in capitalizing on those investments, but you know, some people that you know have the ability to look at how their taxes are going to be paid and reallocate what is already scheduled to be paid in tax into one of these solutions or more, and basically create a return on income that they would have lost to taxes, right? So basically, they're reallocating what would normally go, you know, to the taxing authorities, and they're incentivized to invest in one of these variety of ways. And in return, they get a return on those dollars where they're getting zero today.
So a warning shot I want to throw out to our listeners and viewers is beware, and this is not just solar, but anything, is you have to flip the coin upside down. What I see is that there's these providers out there and they got this one solution. And what they're doing is they're trying to sell to a client, here's our box, you need to go and buy our box. And a lot of times there's a mismatch and you're trying to put a square peg in a round hole. And one of the things, if listeners, you didn't hear Tom, he has again pulled out a large volume of arrows in the quiver to accommodate. And it's not to accommodate, to just provide a sale. It's, we actually want to back into, what is it that you need and how do you go find the right tool to get you and match that up? And again, what I told the audience day one is I'm trying to get Californians that don't have resources to resources. And Tom, you're my top resources in the tax sector. And again, how do we organize all this stuff? It is it's a task and it's a job, but it's customization and it's design. And it's not just design today, because things are guaranteed going to change. It's forecasting and benchmarking that. And that's what I have to do inside the trust buckets. So do you want to elaborate any more on that, or did I pretty much just nail that one?
Yeah, look, you know, we have, if I were to count all the solutions that we have access to, it's well over 20, and not all 20 applies to every single client, right? And that's why I love working with you because the process is very structured, right? Somebody comes in through the website, they fill out their information on the diagnostic. They get value immediately when they do that in terms of looking at their asset profile and what's exposed and what isn't. And then that feeds me on the back end with the balance sheet and the income numbers to basically understand where this client is at today and to understand where they can be at in the future. PRPs or private retirement plans, you know, the goal is to create a retirement, an assured retirement, right? And when I'm able to come in and basically create new tax alpha on the balance sheet, what that helps is it assures how that private retirement plan is going to execute on the tail end. And we can actually amplify what is going to happen, right? Create a more efficient outcome, create a larger retirement, deal with these risks in retirement that normally people are reactive to rather than proactive to.
Right.
And we do this by finding and creating wealth through the preservation of taxes paid.
Perfect. And the sidebar here is that, again, Warren, when people are listening to this or watching it, it can be very esoteric. I mean, we're talking philosophy, and what we're trying to do is raise the bar of the verbiage and the terminology that they've heard over here, and they shake their head. My advisors have said the same thing every year for the last years, and all I do is write checks, and I'm done, and I guess I better start packing up, fold up my beach chair. And if you can't hear the terminology, okay, raising up to here, that should be a warning sign. But what we will be doing is, and I understand this, clients are visual. I'm visual. I like boxes and arrows. And everybody that's been on the podcast, but Tom and I specifically will be doing some webinar supplements. And so we'll be looking at case studies where we break down, here's a client before, here's what they were doing, here's the after, here's the improvement, aka the delta, here's what that net wealth looks like over term. And then again, you can't leave that alone because there's a lot of influence that comes in there and tries to attack that. The more wealth you create, the more problems you can create, aka estate taxes. Tom, do you want to kind of just, that's a whole different world. We're going to do a whole episode on that, but we do have to bring it up because a lot of our clients are in that estate tax realm. You know, for example, the other client we were referring to earlier that has that income, bam, he's in estate tax. And how are we solving this? Because we've amplified the wealth that much. You want to comment on that?
Yeah, sure. You know, estate taxes is a problem that is, bound to become a bigger problem for two reasons. One, obviously, the administration and the government printing of our money supply, it would be foolish not to think that a byproduct of that is going to be increasing taxes. Estate tax, has a range as high as 40%. When you're above the lifetime exemption, which is, 12 million and change today, 13 million might be in 2024 adjusted for inflation. But in 2026, on Jan 1, 2026, we're hitting the sunset. And that's going to go back down to 7 million approximately adjusted per taxpayer. So you're talking about.
So Bill's panicking right now. He's like, wait a second, I got this problem. You didn't even know about that, Bill.
I should be so lucky, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, he's packing his bags and moving to Portugal. Sorry, Tom.
No, all good. And look, this is one of those things that a lot of people just don't want to solve for. And unfortunately, when you don't solve for it proactively, number one, it's going to cost more to tackle the problem later. Number one, you're going to minimize the amount of solutions that you can actually use because, a lot of these, involve the use of carefully constructed life insurance. And as your health degrades, it's not going to be easy to get insurance. That's number two. And three, what they're doing is they're growing their balance sheet in the taxable world, right? So their problem, if their assets are properly managed and appreciating over time, they're creating a bigger and bigger problem. And the last thing that they want to do in your case, your family is a case in point, is let everybody else deal with the aftermath. That's a disaster. That's a failure strategy. And guess what? When people are gone, they want to grieve people that are gone. They don't want to be dealing with a litany of problems relative to poor planning. And estate tax is one of the biggest core areas of what we do in our phased out approach. Phase one, right? That's Ray's world. Phase two, that's where I come in. Phase three, we look at the estate tax problem and what are the ways that we can solve for that? Because estate tax is optional.
And you know, and you've mentioned, I'm big on legacy and keeping things in the family. Phenomenal. I have one other topic that I'd like to discuss. Do you have anything else that you think needs mentioning? Maybe tease on like things you, we were talking about estate planning. One of the things that as a retirement administrator, I've always seen is everybody says, go stuff your box of your qualified plan. And some owners can't even participate in that. There's no value. Others, a physician might max out and do a defined benefit plan or cash balance plan. And these things have proven to be a total tax liability, not only income taxable, but what's called estate taxable. And term is an IRD, income with respect to a decedent. Those things are a bloodbath. Okay. Luckily, I mean, I still had to deal with the nightmare of my family, but they hadn't socked away in any of those things because they really didn't exist. So why don't we tease on that? Because that will be a whole other topic too that we're going to allude to later on in this year.
Sure. You know, in the business owner context, you know, what most advisors, you know, refer clients to when they're looking at saving on taxes is, you know, qualified planning and qualified retirement planning. Those are, you know, we look at those as being, you know, on a baseball diamond singles, right? You know, you're going to hit some singles and that's your first strategy. But with that comes some problems. One is you have ongoing plan testing, right? Every single year. So from an administrative standpoint, it's a nuisance. Number two is in order as an owner to get benefits, they have to allocate for a discriminatory group based on, you know, safe harbor rules. And that when the employee composition is large, that becomes a very expensive endeavor. Owners a lot of times feel that they're paying their employees very, very well. And in order to get benefits for themselves, it's not always a favorite thing to have to, you know, spend, you know, tens of thousands of dollars on administrative expenses and funding programs for others in order to get a benefit that's capped to the upside anyway, right? That's a deferral technique. And what happens is, you know, you're basically creating funding in this qualified plan that ultimately comes out taxable at ordinary income and at prevailing income tax rates later, right? And what we've identified is alternatives to that that allow it to be a little bit more owner-centric, right? We can set up plans for the owner himself. And it's not a qualified plan. It's a variation of a non-qualified plan, but you have no contribution limits. You don't have to, you know, there's no ongoing plan testing. You know, there's a lot of other attributes that are much more friendly, and you have the ability to put in as much as you want.
And let's be careful, audience. Tom's not referring to the California private retirement plan that's exclusive to California residents, okay? He's talking about federal non-qualified plans, okay? Yep. And so there's an array of those. So let's just make sure that people aren't mixing apples and oranges on that. Yeah, continue, sorry.
Yeah, so, you know, so what I'm alluding to is the fact that there is, you know, there's a whole world of planning application that we can bring to the table to PRP clients, private retirement plan clients, in order to help them optimize their retirement and even create more efficiency on the distribution side. You know, Ray and I are working on bringing out a new accelerator program tied to Roth IRAs. We're not ready to talk about that today. That'll be its own episode, but most high income earners have a limited capability of funding Roth IRAs. So we have a variety of tools that actually can hyperfund Roth IRAs, which we'll tackle on another topic. But these are the concepts that we bring to the table in order to, you know, make somebody's retirement more robust, being able to enjoy their retirement and to do so without the guilt of spending their hard-earned assets.
Perfect. All right. And then we're going to conclude on the most important thing. Tom, I've taught you about this. No, I'm just joking. You and your family, I had up, and we brought you to Lake Tahoe for the first time, sat on the beach and everything with your wonderful family and kids and all that stuff. And you and I are laying in the chair, and we were commiserating on how to conquer the world, overlooking Lake Tahoe. And there's nothing better than that. Is that right, my friend?
So it was awesome.
Yeah. So one of the things we've always talked about is exit strategy. Exit strategy. So epic failure in tax planning is I'm selling a widget and solar and you buy it and they're off and running, selling more of their widgets. A lot of the strategies don't end. They are deferral tools, and a qualified retirement plan is exactly that. You don't pay attention to it. Okay. You've got a compounding tax problem. You save a nickel today, or, you know, put in a dollar, say 50 cents, you're out the dollar in cash flow, by the way, and then it goes and it compounds, and then it comes out, and our clients are not in a lower tax rate. Let's just call that right. That. Okay, let's be realistic. But the strategies of implementing other things need to be watched, okay? Even in our PRP Defender, if they are not booked in terms of the assets and liabilities, you don't have an exit plan, okay? You can get a pretty serious whiplash, okay? Specifically if things change in regulations and rules. So sure. We always are looking at, for example, in our Defender plan, we can set, do we have a 3-year, 5-year or longer horizon to plan? What we're doing there is we're getting a large deduction, or we're actually financing it. So we're improving cash flow, but we look at what's going to happen in the next 5 years. And we're tracking our clients with, maybe they have, and we did this during the COVID era. A lot of our clients had massive losses to recapture. Well, when they had that coming in a given year, we started pulling in all this income that would have been taxable from all these other sources and wiping it out against the losses. Okay, so it's a timing thing too. So true tax mitigation planning isn't going to get in a tax buck in not paying attention to it. I'm just telling everybody that. Okay, so what Tom and our team does that he quarterbacks is we look at this time horizon, okay, the schedule, if you will, and you're lining up all the tax strategies and when they're going out and when they're coming in and how to optimize that. That's mitigation, not deferral. Okay, you agree with that, Tom?
Yep, agreed. You know, there's a variety of things that we do to reduce, defer, or eliminate tax, right? It's the trifecta. And you know, certain things have limitations and others have the ability to basically wipe things away. So we try to use those in most of the instances where we can, but we'll leverage each one of those at the right time for the right circumstance and the fact pattern of the client.
Well, I think, again, from a high level standpoint, we hit the major topics. If everybody could see, I was looking at my little topic list and making sure that we were hitting on the philosophical notes of this. Again, there will be a lot of follow-up, either another podcast on a particular subject. You know, maybe it's Tom, like talking about the qualified plan rescue or estate taxes by themselves, which is, again, is real always important to me. We're also going to, again, supplement and upload a lot of, webinar analysis and, you know, those types of things. So in wrapping up, thank you, my friend, for being on here. You and I talk every day anyways, but I had you strategically positioned for this fluidity. And now we're going to start drilling down on things. Tom is not readily accessible to the market, let's say, okay? he works with a very select group. And so why don't we talk about Bill at the end of the session, usually go, well, how do we find you? So Tom, how do we find you?
So, well, I would say, you know, I work with a few key advisory firms around the country, and Trust CFO is one of those. So your main point of contact to get to me is through Ray and Trust CFO. I'd use them and go to the website, complete the diagnostic and get the value that's generated from completing that exercise. And then Ray will loop me in at the appropriate time for clients that align with the tools that we can bring to them collectively.
So if the clients, if anybody knows about the diagnostic, they're going to see the before and after, and it's typically using the creditor exemptions, you know, and they'll see they're red and ugly at first, and then they'd flip over the report and it'll say green and blue. and pretty. Now, what they got to know, the green is still the creditor exemption component, but the blue piece of the pie is identifying the tax opportunities. And so the client we were talking about earlier had a massive amount of blue in that pie. Hence, your value was really identified. Okay. So that's when we again pull you into those things. So great. Thanks again, Tom. Appreciate it. Bill, let's go ahead and wrap up with the regular session. And then we will prep for next week. Next week, we have Jim Cunningham on advanced estate planning for Californians.
Yeah. Thanks, Tom. Thank you very much. Appreciate you being here and adding to the conversation and putting your voice into the mix. How do they get a hold of you? Tom is through you, but how do they reach out to you?
Yep. As always, our website, trust-cfo.com, with or without the hyphen, very robust website. There are our calculators on there, our educational portals on there. Our vault portal for clients is on there. But what I've seen, Bill, we just talked about it earlier, is that we've launched the California Wealth Warriors podcast, and that was last week. And I was pinging you and Jack, and I said, hey, I got like 1,500 impressions. And what was Jack's response to that?
That is an insane number of impressions, which is great. Congratulations.
I didn't know what the metric was. I go, what do I need? Like what Elon Musk gets, like 5 million or what is that? So apparently we're getting some.
All need whatever it is Elon Musk gets. Okay.
I'm second to him for sure. So it sounds like we're getting out there. We're getting some traction. And as people know, I've been told is that the more that we do and the more that people are value are getting, it just starts saturating. That's my goal for the market is just keep going until we start getting that network and those resources out and covering the net of California. So Californians, don't fret. Okay. Don't pack your bags just yet. Think about it. If it's financial, please contact us. We have the resources. You can talk to the Toms of the world. We'll get you to the right people, whether they're tied to our firm or not. We know a lot of resources. So thank you, everybody. And Bill, thanks, my trusted stallion, for taking care of us on this. We'll see you next week, next Monday.
It's great. And I just want to close with a reminder that, in fact, in the show notes, for those of you who didn't have a pen or pencil to write things down, you can tap into the show notes and all of the ways of contacting Ray will be there as well. In the meantime, thanks for listening. And I want to remind you that if you are not a subscriber, why? It's easy. You just hit subscribe. There. You won't miss another episode. You can go back and listen to prior episodes. You'll be alerted when Ray hits out a new episode. You won't have to miss it. And tell people about podcasts, for crying out loud. If you have friends who think they have no choice but to leave California for economic reasons, tell them to check it out first. Ray might be able to help you out. In the meantime, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Bill Tucker. On behalf of Ray, I want to thank you for listening to this podcast and remembering and reminding you that you can go out today and make today a great day or not. It's your choice. Have a good one, everybody.
You've been listening to the California Wealth Warriors, fighting for you as a productive resident of our Golden State. We thank you for your time and trust. Click that follow button right away so you don't miss out on our future episodes loaded with valuable insights and gold nuggets. For more personalized guidance and expert tools, visit our website at trust-cfo.com or contact us at 800-730-3020. Remember, your wealth deserves California's best protection. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guests and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of CWW or Trust CFO. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for legal, tax, or investment advice. Always seek a professional advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your financial or investment planning.